Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of our special guest from this past weekend. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's the sermon from this past weekend.
Right, well, it's a joy to be with you again, and Ellen and I are blessed to be with you today, and thank the Lord for the opportunity to worship. And I appreciate Brother David. He is, as he said, a dear friend to us, and we just thank the Lord for him. I want you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and we're going to look at a passage, a couple of parables that Jesus gave, and they're both about prayer, and they're also both about God's righteousness or God's justice. And so I think this will be an encouraging word to you, and you want to keep your Bible open because we'll look at these parables, kind of walk through them. But right between them, there is a very important question that Jesus asked. After he's told the first parable of the persistent widow, in verse number 8, he says, "I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However," here's the question, "when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" So Jesus is asking the question, when he comes back a second time, will he find faith on the earth? And he is describing that faith in these two parables. And what I want to explain to you is that it is a faith to always pray to God. The very first verse says, Luke said, Jesus told a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. And so the subject that we're going to look at today is, what is the kind of faith that Jesus is looking for when he comes back, and the kind of faith that will help us not give up, but to always pray? So let's look at that very first parable. And before I read it, let me just say that the Bible does talk a lot about always praying, praying without ceasing. Calling upon the name of the Lord all day long. That's Psalm 86:3. Paul said in Thessalonians, pray continually or pray without ceasing. And Paul said in Ephesians 6 that we should pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying. Always keep praying. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and says, night and day, I have been praying for you. So the pattern of the Christian life is that we're always praying. Now, that doesn't mean we're always have our heads bowed and eyes closed, obviously, but it means that we're always in contact with God. We're always communicating with him. We are, throughout the day, we are praying continually. And so that is very important. You know, sometimes we have questions about prayer, and they can discourage us. We're praying about something, and it doesn't seem God is listening. You know, maybe things are in heaven are silent. We're not hearing back from God, or we are praying about something earnestly, and the prayer is not being answered yet. And we look around, and we see some things that just don't seem right in the world, that there are good people who suffer greatly, and there are bad people who seem to prosper, and we wonder, what is going on? Why is God not dealing with that? Why is God letting them get away with that, and why is he not blessing those who are really good and godly people? And so we can, in the process of praying, we can become discouraged in prayer. And we kind of use it like a fire extinguisher, only in an emergency. You know, then we pray. But instead, the Bible says we should be praying all the time. We should always pray. That should be the pattern of the Christian life. So what is Jesus going to teach us about our faith that can help us be that kind of Christian and have prayer just as a regular part of our life? So let's read the first parable. It's found in Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. Let me read these words for us. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming." And the Lord said, "Listen, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Now, in both of these parables we're going to look at this morning, Jesus uses contrast to teach us very important truth. So he has put before us two people. There was a judge and there was a widow. And the judge was an unjust judge. And the widow was persistent to bring, you know, her request continually to the judge. And the judge, even though he didn't fear God, he didn't care about that woman, he wasn't really concerned about justice for her because she was bothering him, coming continually back, that he finally relented and said, "Okay, I will see that she gets justice." That's the two characters in the story, but the contrast is between the unjust judge and God. A God who does love people, and he cares about everyone, cares about that widow, cares about you and me. He is a God who is a God of justice. This judge was unjust. God cares much about justice and righteousness. And then there was a contrast between this widow who was coming and bringing her plea, and then later Jesus talks about his chosen ones. He's talking about us. Now this widow had a judge who didn't care about her and didn't care about justice, but we are the chosen ones of God, and we have a God who cares about us and cares about justice and listens to our prayers. And so here is this widow who is coming repeatedly, we don't know how often, but enough to finally get some results. And Jesus talks about his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night. That's his desire, that we are pouring out our heart to him all the time. It is a communication continually between us and our loving Heavenly Father. Now, the main lessons in this parable really are not about the unjust judge. They're not even about the widow. The main lesson to this parable is about what Jesus is revealing about himself, about God. And it is our righteous and just God and his chosen ones who call out to him day and night. That is what Jesus is teaching us about. In my Bible, this parable is labeled the parable of the persistent widow. Now, you know, those titles were not in the original language, in the original copies of the Bible. They were added later to help us know, okay, this section is about this parable. So sometimes the wording of the title could have been more specific. You take, for example, the parable of the prodigal son. You know, we all know that story. Father had the two sons and one went off. But you know, the greatest part of that story is not about the prodigal son. It's about a loving father who is waiting for his son to come back. The son repented. So sometimes I read some of the titles that we have created and think, yeah, the title could have been a little better. I think that about this one, the parable of the persistent widow, because that kind of implies that the main lesson of this parable is that you just need to be persistent in your prayers, and if you are persistent in your prayers, then you'll get what you're asking for. But you know what? There's a greater lesson. It's not about the widow. It's about Jesus. Jesus is revealing to us something about him that helps to enable persistent prayer in our life. Oh, yes, he wants us to pray persistently. He wants us to call out to him day and night. He wants us to always be in communication with him. But that's not going to produce the change It's seeing what he is revealing about himself. So that's what I want you to see in this parable. So it's not a lesson that says, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, you know. The person who complains the most finally gets results. Prayer doesn't really work that way. Prayer is a loving relationship of our Father, and we are his chosen ones, and we are in a love relationship with him, and he cares about us more than we can comprehend, and we know that there's no other hope apart from him, so that drives us to pray to him continually, to always be in touch. All right, I want you to look at the question that Jesus raised in verse 7. In verse number 7, Jesus asked an important question, gives a great insight of what he is trying to say. Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him all day? Will he keep putting them off? Will God not bring about justice? You know what he is revealing about himself? He is a God of justice and righteousness. That we are praying to a God who really believes in doing the right thing and that things are right. His justice is important. It reveals to us his character and his compassion for us. So he is saying to all of us, we need to have faith in the fact that he is a just God. And when we have faith in him to do that, it does enable us to pray always. You know, I pray when the answer has not come yet, because I believe God is just and right. And in his timing, he will do the right thing. And I can trust him in that. So the Bible teaches that God will vindicate his people who cry out to him. In fact, that phrase in this verse that he will bring about justice, it is said in a very strong way in the Greek. It's said in a double emphasis that God will absolutely bring about justice. You wonder, is God going to bring about justice in all that we see going on in the world? Absolutely he will. He is a just God, and he is on his throne. So here is the contrast between an unjust judge with a loving and righteous God. And what Jesus is saying, listen, this is your situation. You have a loving and righteous God. And how much more will that loving God respond to your prayers than this unjust judge who was just nagged into it? You know, that word that she keeps bothering me, that actually means, it could mean that she punched him in the eye, you know, that, yeah, but or it means to wear him out. There's several ways it could be translated, but it means that he is just badgered into doing it. We don't badger God into doing something for us that he didn't want to do for us. God is a loving God. His wisdom is always right. And so we can trust in his justice. And so Jesus said in Matthew 7 that about prayer, we should ask and it will be given to you. You should seek and you will find. You should knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Now, the way Jesus said this, it means keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking. Why? Because we believe in a just God. We believe that he will do what's right in his timing, in his way. And we trust him at that point. We have a righteous God, a loving God. You know how important that is? I read a statement by Christopher Wright, who is a Bible scholar. And he was telling about a friend that he met while he was teaching in the university. And this friend came from India. And he was not a believer, he was a Hindu. And when he came to this university, he found in his room a copy of the Bible in his native language, his particular dialect from India. And so he had always heard about the Bible. He was a devout Hindu. But he decided that he would begin to read about that. Now, you need to understand about this man that they have a caste system in India. You probably know that. There's some who are high caste, and they have all the privileges, and there are some that are lower caste, and they have very few privileges, and there are some that are the lowest, and they are outcast. And it was in that caste that this man had grown up in a village, he and his family. They were the lowest of the low, and they had suffered their entire lives because of that. And there were people who were high caste in their village that would harass them and persecute them and do all kinds of injustice. And that was okay because they were way down there and these others were way up here. So he had lived his life in his family of experiencing all that injustice, and he was angry about it. He was frustrated about it, and he knew this was not right. So that was one of the reasons that he studied so he could go to university and educate himself, that he could somehow, make things different for his family and to those who had so persecuted them. And so he came to this university, and he was given this Bible, and he just randomly opened it up to 1 Kings chapter 21. If you're familiar with that, it's the story of King Ahab and Naboth. And you remember, Naboth was this ordinary farmer who had this field, and King Ahab wanted that field. And he tried to buy it, and Naboth wouldn't sell it. And so Jezebel told him what to do, and they stole the property from him and killed Naboth. And man, as he was reading that story, it just infuriated him, because he said, this is my story, this is my life. That's what I've experienced all these years in the village that I grew up in India. He was just so mad at that had happened to Naboth. And then he began to read further, and he read about a God who sent another person named Elijah. And God sent Elijah to King Ahab, and with this message that God had seen what he had done, and God was going to punish him and judge him and bring about justice for Naboth. And this man was thinking, wow, I didn't know there was a God like that. You know, as a Hindu, he had millions of gods. They believe in millions of gods. He'd never heard about a God who believed in justice. He never heard about a God that would come to those persecuted people and do what was right for them and watch over them. He said, I want to learn more about this God. And so he kept reading the Bible, and later he read about Jesus. He read about what Jesus had done for him. And he came to faith in Christ. And it all started because realizing that our God is a God of justice. Aren't we thankful that our God is a God of justice? We can trust him to do the right thing. I've been thinking a lot about this parable this week, and one day I was driving in the car and I was listening to a Christian radio station, and that's a good thing to do, to hear Christian music. It's always encouraging. You talk about staying in contact with God and praying throughout the day. Good Christian music helps to keep your mind on the right things. And I heard this song, don't even know who sang it, but it was a phrase, oh Lord, oh Lord, you hear my call. And then there was a phrase in there that says, I am going to stand on the ground where hope is found. I'm going to stand on that ground where hope is found. And then it had a phrase in there that says, I know that someday God's going to take all that's wrong and make it right. That's the hope I have. I'm going to stand on that ground. We have a God who is righteous in all the wrong we see. Someday God's going to make it right. He's that kind of God. So I have every reason to keep praying. God is not ignoring our prayers. God is not silent. In his timing, he will answer, and he will do it. So the faith that produces continual prayer in our life is a faith that God is a God of justice and righteousness, as well as compassion and mercy. So we keep on asking, We keep on knocking. We keep on seeking. Because we're praying to a God who is a God of justice. But that's not all. In verse 8, he not only said, and it's once again, it's a very emphatic way, God says, I tell you, he will see that they get justice. So if you have any doubts about God's justice, Jesus is saying, I affirm, he will see justice. But then it's this phrase, and quickly. I don't know about you, but I found God does not answer my prayers on my timetable. And many times I think it's far past time that God should have answered that prayer. But I am learning that his timing is always right. You know, we can better see that from the past as we look back to the past, can't we? While we're in the present, we're thinking, why doesn't God answer this prayer or meet this need right now? You know, this would be a good time, God. But as we see him work through the time and we look back, he was working all the time. He did everything just right. So this word quickly can be translated several ways. It can be quickly, or it can be translated suddenly. And I think that's really the best understanding of that word in this context. That what Jesus is saying, listen, I will see that they get justice, and when it starts to happen, it's going to happen suddenly. I mean, it's going to take place suddenly. God can change things overnight. God can change things in an instant. Someday he's going to come in a moment, you know, a twinkling of an eye. Things can change just so dramatically, so faster than we think they could ever happen. So the answers of God to us in the present don't seem quick, but they're according to God's timetable. And when God says the time is right and he's going to act, things happen suddenly. And so that means that for much of our life, we're in a time of waiting upon God. You look in the Bible, so many times the Bible says wait upon God, or they were waiting upon him. And that is part of faith, that we trust God is going to work in his timing. We have faith in his justice, we have faith in his timing, and we believe in him and we trust him. So we can go through a period of time waiting upon God. Abraham had to wait for so many years before Isaac, for the promise that he would have a son, would come. Waiting is how our faith grows stronger. Trusting God in his timing is how we find out how powerful he is. And so much of our life, we are in that state of really just waiting upon God, continuing to serve him, continuing to obey him, do all that he asks us to do. On some of these matters, deep in our heart in prayer, we're just giving God open hands, waiting for his timing and trusting in him with peace in our heart. I read an illustration about flying trapeze artists and the relationship between the flyer and the catcher. So you have two flying trapeze artists. They're swinging like this, and there comes a point that the flyer, he swings and he launches out in the air. And the timing is just right that the catcher comes up and he catches him. And then they're both swinging over here. And it talks about how the job of the flyer is simply to let go and have open hands and stay very still. It's not their job to see the catcher coming and grab him, you know, kind of piggyback on to ride. No, that's not his job. His job is to launch and let go and to trust the catcher to catch him. If he tried to catch the catcher, then they would fumble in the air and he would fall. It is the catcher's job to time everything to get there just at the right time and grab his hands. And that's how it works. That's how it works for us. go through life, open hands to God, waiting upon Him, trusting Him, not trying to take it over ourselves. And in God's timing, He comes just at the right time, and He grabs us. That's what He's saying in this passage. We need to trust His timing. He is a God of perfect timing. Exactly the right time He comes. And that means we will spend years sometimes waiting for a need to be met or something to be resolved. But we should not think that God is not working. No, He is preparing for just that right time that He reaches out and He acts quickly. So we are to keep on asking. We are to keep on seeking. We're to keep on knocking. And we're to keep on waiting. Because we trust in God's justice and we trust in God's timing. But there's a third thing Jesus reveals about Himself. In the next parable, He talks about two men who went to the temple to pray. See how these two parables are both about prayer. He talks about a Pharisee and He talks about a tax collector. And let me read verse 9 through 14. He said, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and look down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable." Again, Luke gives us an insight to what the parable is all about. The other one, he said, Jesus told this parable so they would have faith and not give up. They would always pray. Here he says, those who are confident in their own righteousness and look down on everybody else. Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and says, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man," this tax collector, Jesus said, "rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Once again, you see the contrast between these two men. Look at it in the scripture. The Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee comes in and he stood in the temple. Probably stood in the center of the temple. Raised his hands so everybody would see him and hear what he was going to pray. He stood in the center of everything. The tax collector stood at a distance. He didn't want anybody to recognize him. And the Pharisee prayed this way, "God, I thank you for me. I thank you for how great I am. I thank you for all that I do for you. God, you're really lucky to have me on your side." That's what he's saying. "God, I thank you for how great I am." You know, Jesus said that he prayed to himself. It's quite an insight, isn't it? But how did this man pray? He said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Have mercy on me." Another contrast. This guy, the Pharisee, is saying, he's saying, "I am not a sinner. I'm not like these other sinners. You know, robbers, adulterers, even this tax collector." He is saying, "I am not a sinner." This man has come and he says, "God, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. I am a sinner." Another contrast. Jesus said about the Pharisee, he was not justified by God. He was not forgiven. He was not given mercy. He was not justified by God. But he said about this poor tax collector, he went home justified. He was justified in his eyes. God gave him mercy. Another contrast is this Pharisee went to the temple to exalt himself. That tax collector went to humble himself. So you couldn't have more different examples. And I just want to tell you, the Pharisee was deceiving himself and living in an unreal world. Nobody's in that category. Nobody can stand before God and talk about how good they are and how great it is that God has them on their side. We are all, whether we acknowledge it or not, we're all in the other category, like the tax collector. We all are like him. We are in need of a Savior. We are a sinner hoping for God's mercy. And we pray because we believe our God is merciful. So I can continue to pray. Have you ever talked to someone who is so down and life so messed up they felt like they couldn't even pray? They feel like God would reject them, God wouldn't listen to them. But God listens to a humbled sinner. That's the kind of God he is. He's a God of mercy. And, you know, this Pharisee had a false confidence that in himself. He thought he was so great. Five times in two verses, he mentions I. You know, I'm this, I'm not this. You know, he was all centered on himself. But this tax collector, he recognized that he was a sinner. I tell you, the closer we get to God, the more we realize what a sinner we are, how much we need God's mercy. And so this tax collector, though in that day, if you were in the temple that day, you would think, well, this guy over here knows a lot about what God is doing. And this poor guy is just getting started. But the truth was opposite. This guy didn't have a clue how self-centered and prideful he was. But the tax collector was taking the right step. That we're all sinners in need of God's grace. That's the ground upon which we stand. And by God's grace, our sins can be forgiven. And we are one of his chosen ones, welcomed into his family. And when we pray, he listens and he hears us. He loves us too much to give us things that would not be best for us. But in his timing, according to his love and his justice, he answers our prayers. That's the kind of faith that we need. We need a faith that is in God's justice, a faith that is in God's timing, and a faith that is in God's mercy. We have no hope apart from that. So in God's mercy, we persist in our prayers because we know we're dependent upon him and we have faith that he is just. He is the only door we really have to knock on, and we keep knocking on that door. And we will remember that he is a just God. It gives us perseverance to keep asking and seeking and knocking. And we have faith in God's timing, that his timing is always best. And we can see it sometimes when we look back. But in the present, we know that we keep asking and keep seeking and keep knocking and we keep waiting. Being obedient while we wait. But we trust his timing. And then we have faith in God's mercy. And we can persist in our prayers because we know our God will not cast us out. Even though we are sinners, that we don't deserve him, but he loves us in spite of our sin. He is willing to forgive us. He is a God of grace and mercy. He forgives and he answers. So we can come to him with confidence that he will not cast us out. He's a God of mercy. So what Jesus is saying in these parables is that the faith that he will look for is a faith that produces constant prayer in a life of his chosen ones. And it is understanding that he is a God of justice, of timing, and of mercy. That's the God we have.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.